Okay, ready to dive into something unusual.
Always up for a challenge. What do you have in mind?
We're going deep into the world of sideshows.
Ooh, intriguing. Sideshows, huh? Tell me more.
Specifically, a woman named Edith Clifford. Ring any bells?
Edith Clifford. The name sounds familiar, but I can't quite place it. Refresh my memory.
Get ready, because she's not your average sideshow act. We're talking sword swallowing, but with a twist.
Sword swallowing is already pushing it, but a twist. Now I'm really curious.
Think beyond just swords. Think razor blades, scissors, saws, even a bayonet attached to a loaded cannon.
Hold on, a bayonet and a cannon. This is intense. You piqued my interest. Who was this woman?
That's what we're going to uncover. Edith's story goes far beyond the footlights. A life full of risks, heartbreaks, and unexpected turns.
All right, I'm Hoke. Where do we begin?
Let's start at the beginning, shall we? Imagine a 13-year-old girl. Most girls that age are dreaming of ponies, but not Edith. She's got bigger plans. She wants to tame lions.
Taming lions at 13. Talk about ambition. That takes guts. I'm sensing a theme here.
Absolutely. But fate, as it often does, had other plans. Instead of a stage filled with roaring beasts, she found herself captivated by the world of sword swallowing.
From lions to swords. Quite a leap, but I can see the allure of danger. It's a thrilling spectacle, a test of skill and nerve.
And she didn't just dip her toes into this world. She dove headfirst into the deep end, performing with the biggest name in the business, Barnum and Bailey. Not your average teenage gig.
Barnum Bailey. Wow. So how does one go from aspiring lion tamer to performing for the greatest show on earth?
It all circles back to that daring spirit. But it wasn't all just guts and glory. Like any art form, there's technique and skill involved. Behind every daring feat is often a mentor, a guiding hand. For Edith, that was Delno Fritz.
Delno Fritz, I recognize that name. A legend in the sword-swallowing world.
Exactly. He knew the ins and outs, the tricks of the trade, and he saw something special in Edith. Imagine learning from a master, honing your craft to perfection.
It makes you realize the level of trust involved. One wrong move, and, well, the consequences are unthinkable.
Absolutely. But Edith, she thrived under pressure, rising to the challenge. It wasn't long before she was captivating audiences throughout Europe, eventually joining the ranks of Barnum and Bailey herself. Talk about a meteoric rise.
From wanting to tame lions to becoming a star performer in her own right, this Edith, she was something else.
And this is where it gets even more interesting. Edith wasn't content with just swords. She wanted to push boundaries, test the limits of what was possible.
Wait, there's more. Swords weren't enough. This I've got to hear. What else did she dare to swallow?
Oh, just a few things. Razor blades, scissors, saws.
Razor blades and saws. This is insane.
It's incredible, right? But her most audacious feat? The bayonet.
The bayonet, the one attached to a cannon?
The one and only. Picture this. A hushed crowd, the smell of gunpowder in the air, Edith standing calmly with a bayonet down her throat, and then boom.
Don't tell me the cannon actually fired.
It did. Can you believe it?
That's the stuff of legends. And nightmares, to be honest.
The sheer audacity is mind-blowing. It's no wonder even Harry Houdini was a fan.
Houdini, the master of escape himself. That says something about the level of risk and skill involved. But it also makes you think about the historical context. This was the early 1900s.
A time when women were expected to be prim and proper, not swallowing swords and staring down cannons.
Exactly. There's a description of Edith as being generously endowed and stylish, highlighting the emphasis placed on a woman's appearance, even in such a dangerous and unconventional profession. It makes you wonder about the societal pressures she faced.
And what kind of person is drawn to that life? To risk it all, night after night, for the roar of the crowd?
It takes a special kind of courage, a certain fearlessness. It's not a career for the faint of heart.
And the irony is, she found love in that world, a fellow performer who understood the thrill and the danger. His name was Thomas Holmes, the Elastic Skin Man.
Elastic Skin Man? You don't hear that every day. It sounds like something straight out of a comic book.
Right. Imagine seeing that name on a billboard. He must have been quite a sight to behold.
He was a sensation in his time. Imagine contorting his body in ways you wouldn't believe, bending and twisting to the amazement of the audience.
And they say romance is dead. Meeting under the big top, performing together. It's like something out of a movie.
They actually did perform together for a while, billed themselves as the Cliffords. And during this time, two daughters came along.
Wow, two little ones. Life on the road with a sword swallower and an elastic skin man for parents. That's a childhood story for the books.
Right. Talk about an unconventional upbringing. But life, as they say, is full of twists and turns.
And it wasn't all sunshine and roses, was it? There's always another side to the story.
Sadly, no. Thomas's story, it's a reminder of the pressures of fame, especially back then. The constant need to outdo yourself, the demands of the audience, the lure of easy escape.
The dark side of the spotlight. It can be blinding.
He struggled with those demons, you see. Drinking, gambling, it took its toll.
That's heartbreaking, to think that behind the smiles and the spectacle, there was this hidden pain.
It's a stark reminder that these performers, they were human too.
So what happened?
Sadly, Thomas's struggles caught up with him. Passed away at the young age of 33.
33, that's incredibly young. Life really can be fleeting.
It's a sobering thought, isn't it? But amidst the heartbreak, Edith found love again. This time, it was Carl Bauer, a trapeze artist.
A trapeze artist. Talk about a change of pace. So once again, she found love under the big top. It seems like fate had a plan for her, drawing her back to that world.
It's fascinating how life works out, isn't it?
Yeah.
They shared at the stage, but Carl was more than just her partner in performance. He became her assistant, her confidant.
I can only imagine the level of trust involved there, especially with the kind of act Edith was known for. And didn't Ricky Jay write about them?
He did. In his book, Learned Pigs and Fireproof Women, he found their promotional posters particularly interesting. Edith, she was front and center, the star, with Carl, her husband, relegated to the background.
Interesting. That dynamic must have been complicated at times.
It does make you wonder. But one thing's for sure, they were both ambitious. In fact, they tried to launch their own show, The Great Clifford Show.
Wow, going big. What happened? Did it take off?
Not quite. It's one of those mysteries lost to time. But it goes to show that even the most talented performers faced challenges.
The entertainment industry is a fickle beast.
But they didn't give up. They went on to work with Gulmar Bros, Circus, even Ringling Bros, and Barnum and Bailey Circus. Talk about iconic names.
That's incredible. But through it all, she was raising her daughters. Can you imagine juggling motherhood with that kind of career?
It speaks to her strength and resilience, don't you think? But there's another chapter to this story, a surprising one. Retirement.
Retirement? For a sword swallower? What does that even look like?
Well, Edith, or should I say Edith Bauer, ended up running a grocery store in Canton, Ohio.
Wait, hold on. From sword swallowing to selling groceries, that's quite a transition.
It is, isn't it? Bauer Grocery, they called it. And here's the thing. She kept her past life a secret from most people.
A secret? Can you imagine? The whispers, if people knew their friendly neighborhood grocer used to swallow swords for a living. Don't complain about the produce prices, or she'll take you out with a rusty blade.
It's almost as if she had a double life.
Why keep it hidden, though, after all those years in the spotlight?
It's a question that lingers, isn't it? What makes someone choose to leave such an extraordinary life behind?
It's hard to imagine trading the roar of the crowd for the hum of a cash register, though. Did she ever miss it? The thrill of performing.
From what we know, she still welcomed circus folk into her home when they were in town.
A touch of the old life, kept hidden from view. It's like a secret society, bound by experiences that most people couldn't even fathom.
There's a certain camaraderie there,
yeah.
A shared understanding.
Imagine being her grandchild and having no idea about her past. It'd be like something out of a movie. Did her family know about her sword-swallowing days?
It's funny you mention that. Her grandson, Carl Spinden, remembers her as a typical grandma. Nice, sweet, those are his words. No mention of swords or cannons.
It's incredible she kept that part of herself so private, makes you realize everyone has hidden depths. But even though Edith's family might not have known the full story, her legacy in the world of sideshows, it lived on. Some of the objects she swallowed, those ended up in a pretty special place.
You're talking about the Sword Swallowers Association International Museum and Hall of Fame.
Where else would you find antique razor blades and bayonets displayed with such reverence? It's amazing what people collect.
It's a testament to those who keep these traditions alive. Dan Meyer, he owns the collection.
But he doesn't just keep them locked away in a glass case, right?
Oh, absolutely not. He incorporates some of Edith's items into his own performances.
Wow, talk about honoring a legacy. It's like a piece of Edith lives on through his act.
Keeping her memory alive, one swallow at a time, it's a beautiful way to pay tribute.
And it's not just about the objects themselves, right? It's what they represent. The skill, the daring, the absolute guts it took for someone like Edith to do what she did. Especially in a time when women weren't exactly encouraged to push boundaries. Wasn't she featured in a documentary?
Yes, on the Discovery Channel. Back in 1999, Mysteries of Magic, The Impossible Made Possible.
She wasn't around to see it though, was she?
No, she passed away in 1942, battled cancer.
a reminder that even those who seem larger than life are still human.
It makes you think about the mark we leave on the world.
Edith Clifford certainly left her mark, a sword-swallowing, cannon-defying legend. It's inspiring to think about the courage and discipline her profession demanded.
Every performance was a calculated risk, a dance with danger. And yet, she kept going, kept pushing boundaries.
Her story reminds us that sometimes the most incredible journeys, they're the ones we least expect.
The ones that challenge us, thrill us, and make us question everything we thought we knew.
So the next time you're feeling stuck, remember Edith Clifford, the girl who dared to dream of taming lions, but instead made history by swallowing swords. What incredible feats could you accomplish if you dared to defy expectations and embrace the unexpected turns life throws your way?